welcome to another episode of Season 7 of the D1-Only Podcast presented by TAP, Thoughts, Actions, and Progress. My name is Eduardo Villalpando, and I'm your host, and I want to thank our sponsor TAP for making this possible. Also, thanks to all the listeners for being here with us. Today, we got ourselves a very special guest, Jordan Howard. Thank you for being here, man, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me, man. It's an honor for sure.
For sure. Jordan grew up in Arizona and was a NCAA Division I student athlete at Central Arkansas, where he was named Southland Freshman of the Year, Southland Player of the Year, and is the all-time leader for three-point field goals in the Southland Conference. He currently plays in the NBA G League for the Mexico City Capitanes and played most recently in the Showcase Cup, where he averaged 15 points per game on 46% from the three-point line. So congrats on a great career so far, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's get into where you are now before we look back to your college days. How has your experience been playing with Capitanes in the G League so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great experience, especially for this being the first year of the inaugural season for this franchise. You know, trying to expand outside of America is huge, especially me having Puerto Rican Latin descent, knowing how big basketball is not only in America but in Mexico and other places as well, especially in Mexico. So for me to be a part of this was a great opportunity, not only to play but to be a part of something bigger than just basketball, you know.
Yeah, for sure. It's amazing, like, the amount of support you guys received and you are getting to this day in from Latin America in general is pretty big, so that's really dope to see. How do you think being part of other programs in the G, because while I was doing research, I also saw that you were with the Texas Legends and with the Raptors 905, as well as playing college basketball. How did that help you become the player you are today?
Yeah, I mean, for me, every year is just continued development. You know, coming from college and then going to summer league and then going to the G League, they're all steps to get to where you want to be and continue to grow as a player. So for me, each year and each team is like another step and another opportunity for me to grow, good and bad. You know, there's great experiences and then there's also struggles, but that makes you a better player in person. So for me, just going through this process has been a learning experience, but also it's been great opportunities for me to showcase what I can do and at this level, which is the highest level in professional basketball.
For sure. And how hard do you think it is for you at times to stay true to yourself and trust that process? Because I imagine that sometimes you must get desperate and you may want it now, but it's all part of a bigger plan, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And that's kind of been a part of my story throughout my career is just, for one, I have a strong faith and have a strong family. So that foundation has really helped me be the person who I am. And even when things are going tough or bad, or I've been through injuries, and of course I just came off an ACL injury, which is one of the toughest injuries to come back from.
Yeah.
I've just learned to stay true to myself and stay true to my faith and have that good foundation. So when things are good, I'm good. And when things are bad, I'm still good and know that it's more than basketball. I'm bigger than basketball and that I can overcome anything. And of course there's things are tough at times, but I just try to put things into perspective and keep that faith and keep that strong foundation that I was that I grew up on through my family.
Yeah, and I imagine like the ACL injury must be tough, especially because there's like so many steps, like just little things that you have to do each day and you can't miss any of those steps. So what was that recovery process for you?
It was long and it was tough, but I mean, it's just something that you see as a blessing in disguise. Of course, you never want to go through an injury, but just being able to go through that and being able to overcome things and being able to go through it with, you know, my family and my dad, who's a trainer, and my brother, who's a trainer as well. It just makes you stronger and in every aspect, not only physically, but mentally. And so now even the things I've gone through before my ACL injury, now moving forward, it's just like you can throw anything at me and I feel like I can handle it and come over on the other side. So it was a long and tough experience, but, you know, I'm just blessed to be able to come out of it and be able to play the way I was able to play this season. So,
let's get into that, because you're coming off a great performance in Las Vegas, had a light 38 ball in the final game over there. So what was that experience like, and how does this season compare to playing in the summer league with the Warriors before and doing preseason with the Lakers a couple of years ago?
Right. It was a Las Vegas, especially to end like that and end with a game like that. It was a great experience. And just with the G League, you don't know what opportunities you're going to get sometimes. So So, you know, we've had players get called up. We've had players join our team. And it's just like you just have to be ready for any situation that comes. And so I just stayed ready and just continued to play my game. And it has been a great experience and a great year, especially for a first season where kind of all the odds were against us. We had to play all road games. We had no call up. We had no players getting called down. We had no two-way players. So it was like what we were given is what we had, and we had to go out and play away games after away game and travel and do all that while also playing basketball, where teams could have home games and be home and be comfortable. So it was for sure a much different experience than other teams I've been a part of, because this was the first year and it was kind of like the big experiment year, and yeah, it was a successful year for us to even be able to go out and compete and go out and win games and go out and finish the season.
Yeah, that's what I really like about the team. I actually went down to Memphis to watch your opener against the Hustle, to the first of the two, and also went to Birmingham for the first of the two games against the Squadron. And it's just great, you know, it's just like the camaraderie between the team, everyone supporting each other, as well as, I mean, everyone staying ready from one, like from Alfonso and Matt and these guys all the way to perhaps Moy, who is like the youngest of the team, right? So it's just great to see that environment, that team environment that there is. So take me through that 38-point game in Las Vegas. What were your thoughts? Like, you started the game hot. I think you had like, well, I think you had like 30 coming into the fourth quarter, or what was it like?
Yeah, going into the fourth quarter, yeah.
So just take me through the game and what you were feeling, and was it like, all right, every time I'm shooting, I know it's going in, or what was it like?
Right. The funny thing about the game, which was 2 days ago, the funny thing is I actually started off like 0 for 6. So I came into the game, and every game, like my teammates and especially Coach Ramon and all the coaching staff, they have the utmost belief in me and always tell me to keep shooting and always tell me to keep going, which is huge for a player, because that's what you need. You need that support system, especially from a head coach all the way down to trainers and everything. Everyone's always telling me to continue to play my game and shoot. So I started off like 0 for 6, and then, but everyone was just like, hey, keep shooting, keep doing what you do, keep going. And of course my mentality is the same. It's like, even when I miss the next shot, I feel as if it's going to go in. So no matter what, I continue to try to do that. And then going in the third quarter, that was when I really started to catch fire. And so, it's just kind of like you get in the zone and when you're given opportunity and when the team believes in you, like they do for me, it just comes. And so I just kept going and it was a great game. Even though we didn't win, I wish we would have won. We were close. But it was a one to remember for sure.
Yeah. And what is it like being in the zone for all of those who don't know? Like, is it just that you're just locked in? It's you on the bucket and you know that you're going to make it, or what is it like?
Right. I mean, being in the zone is just like you just don't think. Like you just every shot you feel is gonna go in. And of course that's the mentality, but when you're currently going through it and have made like 7 or 8 in a row, it's like, okay, you're not even like almost not even looking at the basket. You're just shooting and continue to try to put your team in a position to win. So it's a good feeling and definitely one that you wanna be in.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's great. Of course, shooters must have like a short memory. And I don't know. It's just great to see, you know, all like your performance and how you were evolving throughout the entire season, or how you were feeling more comfortable. Is it safe to say that the game like kind of slowed down for you at the end?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially like for me, this being my first time getting back to the game in pretty much a year coming off my injury. It took some time, even though I got to practice before the season. It's like going into the first games, it's just like there's nothing that can match an actual game. So you know, for me, it was just a continued growth process throughout, just getting back to being myself, getting back to feeling like I can do the things I used to do. And so, of course, there were days where it felt like I couldn't do what I used to do. And then there were days where like, oh, I may be back. So it's like... So it's just a part of the process. And as a basketball player, it's just like you got to have, like you said, that short memory and also know what you're capable of doing. So for me, it was just continue to have that perseverance and push through and continue to try to get back to where I was at.
No, and I think that it also shows a great maturity level. Just the fact that you, despite starting the game 0-for-6, that you still had the confidence in yourself to keep taking those shots, I think is super important for a player.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And also that I credit my teammates and my coaches a lot, because some people can be in a position, you miss your first 5 or 6, and they're like, all right, stop shooting. Yeah. Or take you out and don't put you back in. But, you know, coach is always, like, encouraging and always like, hey, this is what you do. Like, continue to do it. It's going to go in. And my teammates as well. And so we just have a great, great group. We have a great staff, coaches and players. And you know, Nick, our GM, did a great job of getting everybody from all different types of places of the world and making it a family. We have a great group of players and coaches.
Yeah, shout out to Nick, man. Former
guest. Nick's the man. I knew him from the Lakers. He was there when I was there in Summer League. So just one of the most genuine and realest dudes you'll meet, and just a great person and a brilliant basketball mind. So it's like for him to be able to approach us and want me to be a part of this team was huge, and appreciate him for that.
For sure. I mean, the job that he did this year was amazing, being able to bring Gary Clark, being able to bring Alfonso, being able to bring everyone in, despite not having two-way contracts to offer. Right. It's like such a big deal, you know?
Right. And it goes to show like his work ethic and how everything was kind of against us and still able to make things happen. So shout out to Nick, man.
Yeah, and how well-respected he is, man, for sure.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, let's run the clock back a little bit then. How is it that you decided to attend Central Arkansas when you also had the chance to stay in Arizona and go to GCU?
Right. So initially with GCU, the crazy thing was Russ Pennell, who was my coach at Central Arkansas, he was the coach at GCU initially. And so when he was let go of his position at GCU, I was in high school, I had an ankle injury. And so one of the years where I was supposed to get recruited, a lot of the offers I had either went away or I just wasn't given the opportunity to kind of showcase myself again. So going into my senior year, I didn't have an option or have an offer to go to any schools. And so that was like that, you know, God still has a plan for me and that what's meant to be will be. And so crazy thing is, Coach Pennell actually got the job at Central Arkansas and called me and picked me up in Arizona and was like, I want you to come to school and be my first commit out in Arkansas. And I was like, I have no idea what was out there. I've never been to Arkansas, but knowing the man and the coach he was, I trusted him and committed as soon as he gave me the offer. And that was my only offer leaving high school. And so I went there and was able to have a pretty good career there. And that led to everything else. So it was a blessing in disguise, because you never know. I could have went to a school where I wasn't given that opportunity. And so he kind of gave me the keys of the car and let me be myself and be the player that I knew I could be and that he knew I was. And it led to everything to come. So I credit a lot to Coach Pennell, Coach Russ Pennell. He was like one of the main coaches that believed in me since the start, and so I appreciate him for that. And we still have a great relationship.
That's great. That's super important, man, for sure.
Absolutely.
And talk to me a little bit about these smaller conferences as opposed to your typical Power 5 schools. I mean, I know kind of that environment. I am a Division I student athlete. I go to Niagara University, which is like in the MAC, Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference.
Right.
But just for all the people out there who don't know about how good the atmosphere is in these smaller schools as well, and how perhaps some of these schools don't even have football programs, so basketball is like the big sport, right? So just talk to me a little bit about that.
Right. There's definitely advantages and disadvantages, of course, of being at a mid-major school, just because you don't have the luxuries out of a high major, which is like some of the facilities, some of the things they're able to get, the opportunities that are presented to them, the exposure.
Yeah.
And so for us, it was just like, we just kind of had to make the most of what we were given. And then when we went and played those big schools, we had to make the most of it as well. And so, especially in my senior year, we played like UCLA and took them to overtime, beat Cal, played Oregon tough. Like we would go and play these big schools, and that gave us and especially me the exposure to say, oh, this is a mid-major school, but they can compete with any team in the country. Yeah. And you see that every year with all these mid-major schools that have upsets or in the tournament. There's so many good teams and especially players that just sometimes fall through the cracks and aren't getting the high major opportunity, but they're proven that they can compete at any level.
Yeah. So you showed that 35 points at Pauley Pavilion against UCLA. Would you say that your mindset coming in and against these big schools every time you play them was, all right, I got something to prove, especially because I only had one offer. And basically, I mean, I know that I can hoop. So basically, right. Take it all to them.
Right. Of course. Of course. You kind of have your own personal vendetta that, I wasn't recruited here. You guys felt like I wasn't good enough to be a part of something like this. But that's kind of the mentality you got to have going into it. Like as a mid-major, you're kind of always an underdog. So for me, it was kind of like I had no offers coming in. And now these schools that didn't want to reach out or asking me to transfer or wanting me to go to a high major school and think it's a better opportunity. But for me, it was just like, once I got there and had that loyalty to Coach Russ and the program, I wanted to make something bigger than just myself. You know, I kind of wanted to turn that program around, and we were able to do that through a lot of years of kind of disappointment. And then on the tail end, a lot of success and a lot to show for just hard work and dedication. So yeah, you kind of do have that target when you go to those schools and you want to prove that you can compete at that level.
And how was that week after? I mean, it was a losing effort, but how was that week after the 35-point game at UCLA? Were you kind of feeling yourself on campus, walking a little bit different, or how was it?
No, I try to be humble and low-key, honestly. But, of course, there was, like, a lot of attention because it's UCLA and it's in L.A. So it's, like, we got, like, Sports Center coverage because it went to overtime. A lot of people reaching out and a lot of people recognizing that, wow, this is something that may not be a fluke. Because then we went and beat the University of California, which is another Pac-12 school.
Yeah.
And then we played Oregon pretty tough as well. So it was, like, it was kind of getting that buzz, not only for the team, but especially for me, building my momentum and my stock going into the summer when I got to go with the Warriors. So it all kind of added up.
And would you say that was realistically the first time in your career that you actually got like the buzz around you that you obviously deserve?
Yeah, that's actually a good question. I kind of do believe that because it was more on a national scale.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing it at the mid-major level and kind of for the past 3 years, but then that senior year I felt was that year where I kind of really broke through and it was like, okay, this is for real, you know? And so I would say, yeah, after that game was kind of that next level that kind of pushed and even gave me the confidence to continue to have the year that I had that senior year.
That's great, man. So what would you say was the toughest thing to adapt when you first got to college?
Ooh, when I first got to college, our situation was kind of different going into college for our team initially because we were pretty much all freshmen. So it was kind of like I had to grow up really fast. And that transition was tough, but also really helped my development as a player and as a leader. Because as a freshman, I kind of had to be, okay, Jordan, you're the point guard. You have to lead this team as a 17, 18-year-old kid. So it's like...
Yeah, it's tough.
Just you had to grow up fast. So like, I feel like that was the biggest transition because it happened so quick. And sometimes when you put that pressure on yourself, it makes you better. It shows you what you're really made of. So being that, having to grow up quick, I feel like was the biggest thing.
And would you say that... That unfortunately, or well, not really unfortunately, because of course that made you the player you are today, but of course at times trying to do a little bit too much.
Yeah, I feel like when I was younger, sometimes that pressure and that like feeling of I have to do everything was overwhelming me a little bit at times.
Yeah.
And that can kind of affect you as a player too, feeling like you have to control everything and you have to do everything right. You can't make mistakes. And so I feel like throughout my college process and my career, I kind of learned to play more free and kind of just let things come and not stress about the little things and not try to take too much onto myself because that can, like you said, affect you in the long run.
Yeah. And at which point in your collegiate career, would you say you realized that the pro route was an actual possibility? Was it in that last year when you were dropping buckets against all these big universities?
Right. I think I kind of always knew once I got there, as my freshman year was playing well. But I would say, yeah, like my junior and senior year, as it started to become more real.
Yeah.
Those last 2 years, it's kind of like, okay, now I got to start preparing myself for the next level. And that senior year was really like, this whole year is a campaign building up. You got to build your resume going into the summer, like that you can get to that level. And so that last year was like the really important year for me.
Why do you say that the last 2 years are more real than the first two?
Because your first 2 years, you're kind of finding yourself, unless you're like, I'm leaving early, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or yeah. I'm an early draft pick. Like for me, being at a mid-major, it was like I had to grow. Those first 2 years were for growing and like to mature. And then those last 2 years were really like, okay, now I know this is what I'm going to do with my life and for my career. So these last 2 years on the back end are like what will really push you to get to where you want to be.
That's great. So one last question before we get to the final segment of the podcast episode presented by TAP. How do you think going through adversity in college helped you become not only the player, but the man you are today?
Right. I feel like adversity like is one of the biggest components on making you the person you are. Because adversity, like when things are going right, you can be whatever kind of person you want. But when adversity hits, it really shows like your character and the type of person and where you'll be in life. Because when adversity hits, that's when it really shows what kind of man you are. So for me, it was like, I feel like kind of my whole basketball career has been built on adversity and kind of overcoming those things, whether it's injuries, whether it's getting to college and only winning 2 games my freshman year and having to learn from that and having to look at my team and be like, we can overcome this, which is a tough thing to do, you know?
Yeah,
and
so, for sure.
Not coming into a winning program and then trying to have to turn that around. I just feel like the adversity shaped me into who I am today and has gotten me to be a pro where when adversity hits now, I know I can overcome it. Because if I would have had it easy, maybe when I became a pro and I had this ACL injury or I had some adversity or I felt like things were unfair, I might have not been able to overcome it. And so that kind of goes back to my foundation and my family and my faith and what I believe in. And so I feel like adversity has been the biggest like proponent in me being who I am and getting to where I want to be.
For sure. And that's a great mentality to have as well, because I do know of a lot of players who, of course, I mean, normally when you go to a Division I program, right, these players were the man in high school. And as soon as right. they get to college, they face a little bit of adversity or no, I'm trying to transfer, I'm trying to jump ships or something like that. So it is great right. to basically look at yourself in the mirror and be like, all right, this is something that I really can improve on. You know, a couple of months ago, I had Drew Hanlon on the show. And basically, he was talking a little bit about this. And he was being like, before you try to like jump ships or something like that, see if you can improve your current situation by improving yourself, you know, being in the gym a little bit more. And basically, I don't know, improving not only as a player, but also as a man, I think is super important.
Right, absolutely. You got to look internally before you look at the external effects of what's going on. You know, sometimes some things you can't control, but you can always control yourself and how you react and move on from things.
For sure. So this is the final segment of the podcast. It's called the D15 presented by TAP. It's basically just 5 rapid fire questions. You can answer them as fast as you can. Okay.
Cool.
Arizona or Arkansas?
Arizona. It's home. So Arkansas is my second home. But
athletics or academics?
Athletics.
Of course.
Academics are important though. I was a good student too. Don't worry about it.
No, but you were, would you say, because I saw that you were like all academic team 3 times or third all team or something like that. So would you say that academics was something you were actually like super focused on when you were in college as well?
Yeah. I've always been like, I mean, for me, when something's presented to me, I always go at it with everything I can. So my mentality, even in school, was to be the best that I could be. And I love like technology and other things other than basketball as well. So I have other interests. So it was another big part of who I was as well.
Favorite college memory?
Ooh, I would say being a favorite college memory. That's a tough one. Just being, I've met some of my best friends in college. So like being with my boys and on and off the court, I feel like that was like my best memories.
Most listened artist at the moment?
Drake.
What's your favorite Drake song?
Drake's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. My favorite Drake song, oh, that's a tough one. If I had to pick one, though, I would pick Tuscan Leather.
And what about album?
Best album? Take Care.
Oh, really? Do you like?
I feel like it switches for me, though.
Yeah, no, for sure. Every day it's something different, or every week is different. Do you like CLB? Right.
Yeah, I do. What? I do. He's my favorite artist, though. So like, he's like,
yeah.
He's
the, anything you play, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, he's the GOAT to me.
Other than basketball related, what profession would you like to attempt?
I'm really into like technology and like film and like arts and stuff. Yeah. So I think if it wasn't basketball, I'd be into like media or like film, or just anything that's creative. I enjoy doing things like that. So
that's great. Would you say that since you were a little kid, you were like really passionate about these things?
Yeah. Yeah. I've always been, especially because my dad would always be filming everything in the house, and
yeah.
So he was a big technology guy as well, so like I feel like I picked up on that, and I just enjoy like collecting memories and being creative in everything I do. So
that's great. So well, Jordan, that's all I got for you today. Thank you so much for taking the time. I truly appreciate it, man, and it was great to see you over this year. I can't wait to see your development as the years come by, and of course the NBA is like just one step ahead, so hopefully you'll make it, man, for sure.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you and the podcast and everything you do. You're doing an amazing job. So it's been an honor to be a part of it.
For sure. Thank you, man. And thanks also to all the listeners for tuning in to another episode of the D1 Only podcast presented by TAP, Touch Action on Progress, and see you guys next time.